Thanks for joining us for the sermon podcast of Cornerstone Community Church in Galax, Virginia. We're in a new series called The Letdown, When People Disappoint You. The truth is, we live in a broken world full of broken people. There will be times when others let you down, and there will be times when you let down others. The Bible has the answers, and the Bible points us to the one that will never let us down. We'll be looking at several of the Psalms to give us hope and to help us learn more about who God is. We invite you to join us at Cornerstone in downtown Galax at 9:15 or 11 a.m. each Sunday morning. Thanks for joining in.
Well, it's good to be back at Cornerstone this week. Appreciate Larry filling in last week for me while we were in Raleigh listening to a whole bunch of bluegrass last week. So it's good to be back. We're starting a new series today. So if you're joining us, you picked a great week to be here. And I thought I would speak a little bit about how we do series here and how we kind of prepare for sermons, because as some of you know, one of the most asked questions I get is like, what do you do 6 days of the week, right? Because you only work one day a week. And that's kind of what a lot of people think. So I wanted to actually talk about kind of how we do message series here, because I think some people think we just kind of go online and download them and then that's it. I want to talk a little bit about how we kind of come up with ideas. We try to do a good balance between sermons on the Old Testament and the New Testament, because we really believe that the entire Bible speaks to our life today. And then we'll do some series, like we just came out of a series called Prove It, where we went through the epistle of 1 John, kind of verse by verse. We spent 7 weeks going through that. I love doing book studies like that, because you're able to really get understand everything in context. But then occasionally, like this series, we actually go more topical. And we'll pick a topic that really applies to many of us. And we'll pick a topic that we know the Bible speaks truth into and can help us with. So for this one, we're talking about being let down, how people disappoint us. And we're going to be looking at the Psalms. And so we're going to be spending several weeks in the Psalms going through this. And so once we have an idea for a series, we kind of pick out a sermon series title. We either create our graphics or we'll find some graphics that work with it. Then we'll sit down and kind of map out how many weeks and the Bible passages and kind of what we want to communicate each week. And we usually plan out 3 to 6 months in advance kind of what we're doing, so we've got time to prepare. And then as it gets closer, we'll take that Bible passage for the week and we'll really start researching. We actually have a teaching team that meets once a month. We try to meet at least once a month, and we get together and share ideas and go over different things we can do to kind of help. Different illustrations and different ideas for teaching, but we'll take a Bible passage. Like this week, we're in Psalm 42. And so we'll take that passage, and I spent all week studying it and reading commentaries and different podcasts and different other sermons and articles, and just spent as much time as I could just trying to get a good understanding of why it was written, who it was written to, all the details about it. Then we kind of take that and I start developing it into an outline, and I'll literally write out the entire sermon. And so to give you an idea, like most weeks I'm at around like almost 5,000 words for a sermon. So if you want to know what a pastor does, it's like writing a research paper every week. And that's really kind of what you do. You kind of get all the information, bring it all together. Then you kind of take away anything that doesn't really help communicate what you're trying to. And then you get to share it. And I love doing that. And that's really what God has called me to do. But that's really kind of what preaching is. And if you want to know like the definition of preaching that most people kind of go to, it's one by a guy named Haddon Robinson. And he said this. He said, "Expository preaching, it's the presentation of biblical truth that's derived from and transmitted through a historical, grammatical, spirit-guided study of a passage in its context." So we take a passage, we study the history, the grammar, kind of study that passage in context. And then it says the Holy Spirit applies first to the life of the preacher and then through him to the congregation. And so that's really what we do when we do a sermon. We want to take the passage and really have it speak into our life. Whoever is up here speaking, we all do this. We have it speak into our life so then we can then take it and God can speak into your life through His Holy Word. And so that's really kind of our goal when we do series. And so this series, we're going to the book of Psalms for guidance. And the Psalms are a little different from the typical passages we preach through. And here's why. The Psalms are songs, right? And so when you look at this, they're poetry, they're poems, but they're written really to speak to God's people and speak to the emotions and the thoughts and the feelings that we have. It's really, I think, for some reason, maybe unintentionally, but we've been taught that we really can't talk about our feelings in church. We've got to talk about our actions, our behaviors, but not really talk about our feelings and our struggles in life. And so this morning, I really want us to understand that it's okay, right, to have struggles in life. And that we're talking about real life today. We're talking about problems that we face, and instead of sweeping them under the rug and acting like they don't exist, God is not afraid of our questions. And we get to learn this through the Psalms as we look. Let me just kind of open up. Does everybody always feel joyful and happy and excited, right? Everybody feels that way all the time, right? No, right? Of course, I mean, we struggle. Let's be real. If you ask your spouse what your attitude is like, you're going to get an honest answer, right? Most of the time. And they're going to let you know. And I guarantee my wife will say that this week I have not been happy and joyful all week, right? So there we go. That's the truth, right? We all have our ups and downs, and so the Psalms give us this resource that we can look to and understand that what we go through is nothing new, that it's been going on for thousands of years, and that the Bible has the truth we need so that we can get through our struggles. Let's be honest, life is a struggle. Bad things happen. We live in a broken world. Things don't always turn out the way we hope for or we anticipate or we expect. People even do things to us that cause us hurt and pain. So how do we get through it? Well, I can tell you right now, the answer is we need God in our life. And that's hopefully we'll be encouraged by that today. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 42. That's where we're going to be today. I'll give you a little bit of background to it, and we're going to be talking about relational letdowns. How do you handle when someone lets you down? What do you do when you put your trust in someone and they end up instead hurting you and letting you down? Psalm 42 is one of these psalms. We're not sure the exact time period it was written. Some people think it was during the time where David had left Jerusalem because his son Absalom had tried to overthrow him and kind of take over the kingdom. And so that some people think that, some people think it may be earlier or later, but if it happened during that time when Absalom kind of took over, think about this. King David, his own son, really overthrew him as king. And what happened is Absalom kind of came up with this plan, and you can actually read about it in 2 Samuel 15 through 18. He kind of sat at the city gate, and he pretty much schmoozed up to everybody. Right? People came by, he told them what they wanted to hear. He kind of buttered everybody up, and eventually it got to the point everybody loved him, and he said, okay, guess what? I'm the king now. And David, instead of kind of standing up to him, David knew he would cause a civil war if he stayed. He just left. And he crossed the Jordan River, took a bunch of his followers and worship leaders and everybody else with him. And so he went into exile. And so many people think that this psalm was written during that time. Can you imagine the heartbreak of your own child really betraying you and trying to take over the kingdom that was yours? You can imagine what David felt like and what he thought. And so that's kind of the background, what we think anyway. And even if not, we know that this was somebody that had left Jerusalem and was wanting to return. And so it starts off and kind of has a little, in the Psalms, it has a little inscription at the beginning of the Psalms that kind of tells who it's to and who wrote it. And this one, it says, to the choir master, a maskil of the sons of Korah. And when you read that, you're like, well, what does that mean? Well, a maskil, they think, just means teaching. So this says it's written to the choir master. So this is a song that's written, that's to be sung in public worship. It's written as a teaching, and it's written by the sons of Korah. Now, some of you, I've been surprised, but some of you may think that David wrote all the Psalms. Maybe you've even been taught that. I want you to know that David wrote most of the Psalms, but not all of the Psalms. And so the sons of Korah wrote a number of songs. And if you look at this, the sons of Korah were a group of priests, and they had a responsibility to be in charge of singing. And so if you look in 2 Chronicles, it said that the Korahites, they stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And so just right off the bat, here's kind of the information we need to know before we jump in. It's that the sons of Korah, they were worship leaders. And they're sharing a song here that's to be sung in public worship. And it's a song about discouragement. It's a song about the struggles we face in life. And so with that, let's kind of pick it up in verse 1. It says, as the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before Him? Day and night, I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. And so this first part here, if I stop for a second and explain it, it's about losing your joy. It's about looking at what has happened to you and being upset. And if this did, in fact, happen during Absalom's rebellion, this means that David's son has betrayed him. This means that the sons of Korah, the worship leaders, they were forced out of Jerusalem. They were missing the temple worship that they had grown up in. And they looked back and they wanted to be there, but now they could no longer be where they wanted to be because of the betrayal. And so what we see here is a longing for the past. There was trust that had been broken. They remembered the joy that they once had, and they just miss it. And so you can feel the anguish. You can feel the pain. I mean, look at the word. I mean, verse 3 where it says, I have only tears for food. Have you ever been so broken in life that the only thing sustaining you is the tears that you have? That's the level of pain we're dealing with here. I have only tears for food. But then we get in verse 5 to what I would call the chorus of the song. And the chorus of a song is repeated. It brings you back to the main point of what the song is about. And the chorus says this, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. And so in the midst of his struggle, he's pointing back and saying, okay, I can get through this because I will praise God and I will trust God and God will be with me through this. And so we've got that course, but now we see him kind of jump right back into the discouragement, even the despair that he's facing. In verse 6, he says, now I'm deeply discouraged. But I will remember you, even from distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar. I've heard the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me, and through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. And so he tries to remember here what God has done in his past. And what you see here is really a roller coaster of emotions. He goes from praising God to saying, I'm discouraged. I'm struggling. I'm trying to remember, God. I want to remember. I know you're faithful. I know you've been there for me in the past, but I need to know it again. I need to know it again because I'm hurting. I'm struggling. I'm in pain. People have betrayed me. I don't know where to turn. God, I have nowhere left to turn but you. That's really kind of what we're dealing with here. Again, you kind of see the waves of grief and despair come crashing in. And if you've ever found yourself in the midst of a struggle, you can relate to this. One minute you know, hey, God is there. He's there for me. The next minute you're upset, you're frustrated, you're struggling. And you're kind of going back and forth. You're kind of weaving your way through this, trying to find, right? Trying to find hope, trying to find peace, trying to find joy in the midst of this. And then we get to verse 9. He says, oh God, my rock, I cry. Why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts, they break my bones, they scoff and say, where is this God of yours? So again, what we see here is this questioning, this struggle, this, I don't understand why I'm going through all of this. But then we go right back into the chorus. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. And so we get to the end of chapter 42. But if you study this, you realize that it does not end at the end of chapter 42. That chapter 43 is really a continuation. This is one psalm. I hope you know, or someone has taught you at some point, that the verse numbers and chapter numbers, you know, when the Bible was originally written, they weren't writing it and saying, okay, this is verse 1. Okay, when we hit this is verse 2. No, those were added much, much later. They were put in to help us find places in Scripture. Because if not, can you imagine trying to find a psalm like Psalm 42 and just say flipping psalms to this? I mean, it would be tough to find. So the chapter numbers are there for our benefit. They weren't there originally. And so as you read chapter 43, you realize this is the same thing. And so let's keep going in verse 1. He realizes here he needs to find joy again. He says, declare me innocent, O God. Defend me against these ungodly people. Rescue me from these unjust liars, for you are God, my only safe haven. Why have you tossed me aside? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Send out your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them lead me to your holy mountain, to the place where you live. There I will go to the altar of God, to God, the source of all my joy. I will praise you with my harp, O God, my God. And so finally, he kind of pulls himself together here and says, okay, I know where my hope comes from. I know that I'm going to be let down in life. I know I'm going to be disappointed in life. And in those times, I know the only place I have to turn is to turn back to God. And then he goes into the chorus one last time. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. And so there we have kind of this one psalm here in Psalm 42 and Psalm 43, a song that was meant to be sung in church, a song that was meant to be used in worship. And again, to us, this sounds a little weird. Can you imagine us standing up and saying this? And it almost sounds like sacrilegious, like when we question, I mean, is he questioning God? Is he saying, where is God? And at the same time, when we read this, it gives me hope, knowing that when we face struggles, we can be honest, we can be real with God. If you're following along in your notes today, I kind of want to jump in and share the first point. It's just simply this. During your life, people will let you down and disappoint you. I'm being completely honest with you. I'm not sugarcoating this. People that you respect, people that you look up to, people that you trust, they will let you down. They will disappoint you. It's and if it hasn't happened yet to any significant degree, I'm telling you, it's going to happen at some point in your life. Maybe a friend makes a promise and then lets you down and breaks the promise. Maybe it's not just a friend. Maybe it's a spouse who breaks a vow, who breaks a promise. Maybe it's an employee who you trust and you think they're your friend, but then you find out that they're stealing money from you. Maybe it's your boss that says, "Hey, I'm gonna promote you. I'm gonna give you a raise, right?" But then they go back on the word, and you never see a penny of it. Maybe you've been disappointed even by a minister or somebody in church that you thought was a person of God, and then they did something or said something, and you realize that they're just as broken as you are. Some of you right now have gone through extreme letdowns. Maybe there was abuse in your background, whether it's physical abuse, emotional abuse, spiritual abuse, or sexual abuse. And maybe you've gone through, you really trusted someone and then they betrayed you and lied about it and spread rumors and gossip and everything else behind your back, and you found out about it. And that person who you thought was your friend, you find out that they were doing a lot to discredit you and destroy you. And so, I could keep going. There are kids who have felt abandoned and let down by even their parents. There are parents who have felt let down because their kids have kind of walked away from the truth that they were brought up into. And all these situations that we find, I'm telling you, these happen because we are broken people who live in a broken world. These happen because of sin in our life. And the sad thing is, most of us live with relational letdowns. I wish they didn't happen, but they do. So we've got to learn how to get through them. We've got to learn how to talk about them. We have to learn how to find forgiveness and to move forward. And all of us, we really have lost our joy because of people, because of what they say, because of what they do. And maybe at the same time, maybe we've been part of the problem where we've done the same thing to someone else. So let's kind of look at this psalm and let's look at something. Let's first thing we want to talk about, what are the results of relational letdowns? And I'm talking this morning, I kind of want to zero in on what happens when someone betrays you. And this psalm, again, if it was written during the time of David and Absalom, what we see here is we see at a point in history where a father was let down by a son. And it had some pretty significant impacts, not just on David, but on the entire country, the entire nation of Israel. And so here's some things that happen that we learn from this psalm. The first thing that we learn is that we become discouraged. We become discouraged. When someone lets you down, it's hard not to be discouraged. It's hard to stay joyful and happy and excited and have passion in life when someone has just betrayed you. He says here, he opens up the Psalm 42 with, "I'm longing for you, God. I'm thirsting for God. Where can I go and stand before you?" And then we get to that chorus, and it's like, why am I so sad? Why am I discouraged? And this is almost like this rhetorical question, right? He's saying, okay, I've gone through all of this, and I know I shouldn't be, but I am. I know I shouldn't be discouraged. I know I shouldn't be sad, but I am. So what am I going to do about it? And all of us, we go through disappointment in life. Can I tell you what? If you look up the word disappointment in the dictionary, this is what it says. It says, sadness or displeasure caused by the non-fulfillment of one's hopes or expectations. And so when we talk about disappointment, we're talking about we had a plan. We had an expectation. This is where I wanted to be. And now that didn't happen. It didn't come to fulfillment because someone has let me down. That's what disappointment is, right? Things don't turn out the way we anticipate or the way we plan. So we find ourselves hurting. We find ourselves disappointed. We find ourselves discouraged. And so when we are let down, it's because something in our life has not turned out the way we hoped or anticipated. Now, sometimes I think that happens because we set our expectations too high. And I know for me personally, sometimes I struggle. I hold other people to a higher standard than I hold myself to. Do you ever find yourself doing that? If you're married, I think this is one of the most common problems in marriages, is that you expect your spouse you hold them to a higher level than you even hold yourself to. You have higher expectations for them. And so we've got to be careful about that. But at the same time, it's so easy to become discouraged when things don't turn out the way we hope. And so that's the first thing that happens. We just become discouraged. But then it kind of moves into this next level, this next phase, as we start questioning God. We see that here in the Psalms. We see that over and over again. It's like, where is this? I mean, people are taunting them, saying, where is this God of you? And why am I so discouraged? And God, why are you allowing this to happen? And here's what I want you to know. It's in our times of discouragement. It's in those dark times in the midst of our struggles that Satan tries to attack you the most. It's in those times that Satan just starts whispering in your ear, do you really believe in God? Did God really say that? Does God really care about you? Does God even listen to you? Do your prayers even make a difference? Do you think anybody else cares about you? It's all these questions that the father of all lies just starts bombarding us with. And when we start listening to Satan instead of listening to God, we're going to get ourselves in big trouble. When we start allowing Satan to kind of get a foothold into our life and he starts speaking those lies into our life and we start listening, we start questioning everything about God, about who he is, about his faithfulness to us, about can we trust God? Did God really say that? Is that really in the Bible? Did God really mean that? All those things just start kind of flooding into our mind, all those doubts and all those fears. And I'm telling you, we've got to be careful at this point. God is not afraid of our questions, but we need to go to the right place for the answers to our questions, right? When we have questions like this, where do we go? We go back to the God who created us. When we have questions, we go back to his word that speaks truth into our life. That's where we find our answers. We don't find our answers in pop culture. We don't find our answers on Google. Can I just tell you that? That's kind of how we face life now. We got a problem, we just Google it. No, go to his word. Okay, listen to God. He's the one who created you. Our hope has to be in God. In verse 9, he said, "Oh God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief?" I mean, he's crying out to God. He's in the midst of a discouraging struggle here. And what I want you to know, right, it's not that God has forgotten him. It feels like God has forgotten him. And there are times that you feel like God has left you. There are times that you feel like God is not listening. There are times that you feel like there's nowhere left to turn. But it's in those times, right, that we have to just dig in and understand God is there and God does care. God is carrying us through the midst of our struggle. And it's just this is just what we've got to understand. We can trust God with our feelings, both good and bad. And the Psalms teach us we can be completely honest because God can handle it. And so this picture of him wrestling back and forth with God, he's discouraged, but he's not yet hopeless. Right? He's in a struggle. He's crying out to God, and he wants to know that God is there. And so these are legitimate questions he is asking. But he's going back to God to get the answer. And I think that's what we've got to learn to do. And so not only that, so we start seeing this happen a little bit. We're seeing this progression take place, and there's something else that happens, and it's the next point, as we start feeling disconnected. So in the midst of this struggle, they realize, right, they're across the Jordan River. They're disconnected from the friends and people that they love and want to be with. And they long for a time where they were in the temple together worshiping with other believers. And now It says right in verse 4, he says, my heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. And maybe the easiest way to explain this is a situation that many of you have experienced or seen or been impacted by in your life. And it's the situation of divorce. When divorce happens, right, there's a separation that takes place. There's a brokenness that happens. There's a disconnection. The things are no longer like they used to be. And there's pain, right? And so what you see is that the people you used to be close to, now you're no longer close to. And that separation has taken place. And we see that in other areas of our life when there's been relational letdowns, that there's a disconnection. The people that you were very close to, this you spent time with, that you hung out with, now are no longer there. And you wonder, did I say something? Did I do something? Sometimes you know what happened. Sometimes you don't. This happens a lot in church life, right? And it's been something that I've struggled with that over many years, is people that you were really close to and you spent a lot of time with, and you realize they haven't been at church a week or two or maybe 3 weeks, and the next thing you know, they're posting about going to another church and you never hear anything from them. You're like, what happened? Where did they go and why did they leave? And then you try to talk and then it's like there's a disconnect there and you don't even know what happened, right? That's that disconnection. There's a relational letdown. You thought you were at a level of friendship, and then when they walk away, you're wondering, well, what did I do? And so this happens over and over again in life. We miss what we once had. And relational brokenness, it makes you miss the friendships that you had. And let's be honest, it's painful to think about people that you were close to that you're no longer close to anymore. And so that kind of brings us, we've got to really ask ourselves, right, how are we dealing with this? Because if we don't deal with disappointment, it leads us to hopelessness. And it's all right to be disappointed, but when we get to the point of hopelessness, we're in trouble. And because what happens when we get to hopelessness, it's deadly, but right? Because we lose hope. As long as there's a chance, as long as there's a hope, we have something to look forward to. But when we get to the point where we don't see a way out, all right, that's when people get suicidal. That's when people get to the place where they really don't even know where to turn, where they turn their back on God and say, there is no hope. My life is messed up. I'm going to stay this way. That's a dangerous place to be. And I don't want to see us sliding into hopelessness. So let's talk about how we overcome this disappointment and how we kind of turn the corner. Because we see the answer, I think, here in this psalm. The first thing we've got to do is we've got to praise God. We've got to praise God. We praise God when things are going great. We praise God in the midst of our struggle. And what praising God means is that we think back to what He has done in our life and we thank Him for it. I don't care how bad things are in your life. I don't care how many times you have been hurt by people around you. You have something you can praise God about. Just stop and think this morning. What can you praise God about today? You can praise Him that you're in church today. You can praise Him that you have the health to take another breath today, that your heart is beating. You can praise Him, right, that you could just go on and on about how beautiful this weather is, about how good He has been to you. You can remember back through your life about how He has sustained you and carried you and been there time after time after time in your life. You can praise God for that. You can just remember how faithful God is and remember who He is. You can praise God because you were once a sinner and He has saved you and brought you from death to life. I mean, think about that. Just if you really stop and think about where you would be without Jesus in your life, I'm telling you, for me, it's not just what God saved me out of, it's what He saved me from doing in my life. And I know without Jesus, I would have made a mess of my life. I'm telling you that. I would have done, I'm just thinking back and where my heart was and where it would have been a mess without Jesus. And so we praise God. Verse 8, it says, right? Each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me, and through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. And then he says, right, I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Isn't it amazing that he's singing his praises? Now, I'm just going to be honest. Like, when we pray, when we do our worship time at the beginning of service, I'm not even going to say what percentage of people here actually look like they enjoy it and how many people are actually, like, really. I mean, some people are like, when are we going to get done with this? And some people are really singing and praising and enjoying it. But we have something to praise God about. I don't care if you can't carry a tune in a bucket. I don't care if the only thing you can play is a radio. You can praise God. You've got something to praise him about. And there's just something about, right, just pray. And if you don't like, if you really don't feel like you can sing at all, just say it out loud. But get it out, verbalize it, get it out there. Praise God for who he is, for what he has done. I'm telling you, if you come up beside me going down the road, you're going to sit, you're going to think, why is he talking to himself? I'll sing along with the radio too, okay? I'm just telling you. It may not sound good, but I'm singing. I'm praising God going down the road. And you know, I love some of my, you know, just, and I haven't done this in a long time, but I used to love just picking up the guitar and playing and strumming and just praising God, right? Because there's just something about putting it into music, being able to praise God. And I think he's just created us with a song in our heart that cry out for God. So this praising God, if you're disappointed, if you're discouraged, the first thing we got to do is we got to stop and gain perspective. And we gain perspective by praising God, not by focusing on our problem, but by praising God and thanking him for what he's done in our life. But we don't stop there. We keep going. The second thing we do, we got to find ourselves and we got to get plugged into community. And because the simple fact is, right, we don't overcome this in isolation. God created us for community. That's why we have the church. That's why when we read through the New Testament, we see over and over again that we're called to love one another. We're called to serve one another. We're called to encourage one another. We're called to bear one another's burdens. Called to exhort one another. Over and over and over again, we're told how we live in community. And so this is why I don't understand it, but one of the first things I see often is that when people struggle in life or they get let down, they quit going to church. The one place where they can find the support and the encouragement that they need, people turn their back on it. And I want you to know that church is not just about coming and hearing a sermon and learning something new. Church is not just about coming and singing a song. Church is about building this community, a community of faith, finding your place in the body of Christ. It's about serving together. It's about working together. It's about building relationships where you can learn how to follow Jesus better together. It's about doing more together than we can ever do alone by ourselves. And when we're hurt, it's like for whatever reason, we kind of turn inward and we think, I can handle this. I don't need anybody else. I've got this. And what God wants to remind us is that we need to find community. Here in this passage, what we see is that he's missing the community. He's missing the community that he once had, and he knows he needs it again. And the final thing, I got to keep going, running out of time. Not only do we find community, we got to put our hope in God. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this. How many times in the Bible does it say, trust in people with all your heart? Does it say that anywhere? Why? Because you know they're going to let you down. What does it say over and over again? Trust in God with all your heart. Trust in God. Where do we put our hope? If you put your hope in other people, they're going to let you down. I don't care who they are. I don't care how godly you think they are. I don't care it doesn't matter. People will eventually let you down in some way. And I don't mean that to discourage you. I'm just telling you, where do you put your hope? Where does your hope come from? It comes from God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 here with me. This is encouraging right here. We work wearily with our hands to earn our living. We bless those who curse us, right? That's hard to do, but that's what we're called to do. We're patient with those who abuse us. We appeal gently when evil things are said about us. Yet we are treated like the world's garbage, like everybody's trash, right up to the present moment. It's a word of encouragement for you this morning. If you feel like that, you're not alone. As followers of Jesus, you're not called to an easy, happy, joyful life. Yes, we find our joy in the Lord, but there are going to be times we struggle. There are going to be times you're dumped on. There's going to be times that you're taken advantage of. There's going to be times you're treated like the world's garbage. So where do we put our hope? Do we put our hope in the circumstances? Do we put our hope in other people? Or do we put our hope in God? There's a lot of what we need to talk about in relational letdowns is about forgiveness, and we're going to get there in this sermon series. There's a lot more to come, but here's what I want to leave you with this morning. I want to leave you with 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And it says this. It says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father, the source of all of our comfort. He comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with His comfort through Christ." And so I don't know what you've gone through in life, but whatever it is, have you ever stepped back to think about it and say, "I've gotten through this with God's help. Now I want to help somebody else walk through it. I want to be there for someone else. I want to speak life into them. I want to encourage them. I want to build them up. I want to help them. I want to take my experiences and use them for the glory of God to build up His church." That's what it looks like when the body of Christ comes together. And so this morning, if you don't take anything else from this, don't put your trust in people. Put your trust and your hope in God. And if you do that, it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter who lets you down. It doesn't matter who breaks a promise. You're going to get through life just fine because God is going to be there to give you the strength, the comfort, the peace, the power you need. So I'm going to pray here in a minute. The praise team's going to come back up. We're going to conclude our services with our time of response. But I want us to take a minute to pray and to really search our hearts this morning. What is God speaking to you today? What has He kind of put on your heart? What are you learning here today? Let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's spend some time talking to God. Will you guys pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your word that just speaks so clearly into our life. And many of us have been wrestling with difficult circumstances in life, and whether it's people who have hurt us or situations where life didn't turn out the way we had planned. Lord, we just need to know You're there. And so, Lord, I pray that each person in this room, as we struggle, that we would look to You, the author, the perfecter of our faith, for the answers we need in life. Help us not to trust in ourselves. Help us not to even trust in others, but help us to trust in Jesus. We know when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus that He will hear us, that He will save us. The Bible tells us that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our hearts, God, that You raised Jesus from the dead, that we will be saved. And so this morning, that's my prayer for every person in this room, that they know that Jesus is their Lord and their Savior, that they quit trying to do life on their own strength and they surrender to You. Lord, I know that many of us have been hurt by relational issues and hurt by others. My prayer is that we can work through that we can find reconciliation, we can find forgiveness, we can find restoration in our relationships. And so maybe our heart has even grown cold towards you, God, because of what others have done to us. And help us not to judge who you are by what others have done to us, but help us to view you as who you really are, the God who loves us, the God who created us, the God who made a way that we could be reconciled to you. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We praise you. We lift up the name of Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray today. Amen.